starless in the void of the night. Thank you for being generous. And thank you, Dave, for the announcements and the awesome worship team this morning. Wasn't that great worship? Nora and the team, we do appreciate it. These people spend a lot of time preparing, and it's good to be in church today. Amen? Amen? There's no other place I'd rather be this morning than here. It's the second week in a row that I'm preaching, so things are looking up. And they're just not paying me more, but anyway, it's okay. And they said last week I walked around too much because they couldn't keep me on the camera. So I've got a chewy under my shoe and sticking to the floor this morning. And actually, I did stand in one. And but anyway, I'll try not to run around too much. Okay. So yeah, I'm ministering during the series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we're busy with the series on the Holy Spirit. We had the promise of the Holy Spirit. We've had the person of the Holy Spirit. We've had the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you know, fruit is grown and gifts are given. Won't you say that? Fruit is grown. Gifts are given. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, there are nine of them. That's something you've got to develop in your life. And when people see that, they will see that you're different. You're a fruitful person, and you know that you have the love of God in you. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God has given so that the church can function, and so that we would know God is here with us. And we are a Pentecostal church, and we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and my gosh, you know, in those old days, things are a bit different today. I grew up in a church where people would jump up and start shouting out and praying in tongues, and you know, and I remember, move it closer. That's loud though, isn't it? Well, I don't know how to move it closer. It's my ears. Anyway, I grew up in this church where every Sunday, you know, when we got to church, you'd sort of know that Brother so-and-so would, at a certain point in the service, jump up. And then a bit later, Sister Clopper. She is the old lady. She used to do her hair up. She had long hair. I mean, she was probably in her 70s. And she wore a hat with a feather on. Because people wore hats in those days, ladies. They either wore a hat or a mantilla. A mantilla, you know, they believed that a woman should cover her head. And now we just wear masks. But anyway, so old Sister Clopper, you know, God bless her. She was a lovely old lady. But she used to always get up and she's, you know, then she starts saying, and the Lord would say unto thee. It's funny, the King James kicks in. I don't speak normal English, you know, when you get a bit spiritual. And then her hair would start falling down until it was all down. And, you know, I remember these things vividly as a child. And sometimes it was a bit like a circus. So now I'm not being nasty, but it really was. It was different. There was no order. But yeah, God still worked in all of that. And I remember I wanted to creep under the chair sometimes in church because of some of the things that went on. And even, you know, later on when I was a pastor, we had some people that really would be embarrassing, because the Bible does say things must be done decently and in order in the church. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. So let me unpack this now. I did the first three gifts last week: gift of knowledge, gift of wisdom, and the gift of discerning of spirits. The gift of wisdom is when God can give you some wisdom concerning a decision you have to make, or a person that you're dealing with, or someone in your family. Or a gift of knowledge is where God can show you what to do in a given situation. And discerning of spirits is that you can discern in your spirit, you know something's right or it's not right. You can discern when someone comes to you and they're telling you the truth, they're not telling you the truth. These are gifts God has given to the church so that the church can function. Amen.
Amen.
So today we call those the eyes of God. Now today I'm going to deal with the mouth of God, the speaking gifts, And I'm going to deal with the hands of God, which are the miracle supernatural gifts. They're all supernatural, but anyway, let's read together as we get into this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? The common good. Amen. So these gifts are given to us for the good of the church, for my good and your good. To one there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. I spoke about that last week. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. So, you know, the Holy Spirit can give you a word of knowledge. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguish between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit. And He, the Holy Spirit, distributes them just as He determines. So we don't own them. These gifts are loaned to us by God. And in our daily lives, sometimes out in the public arena or in the church, these gifts are available to us. And so powerful, they can change the whole direction of a church, service. And they can help you in your daily life as you walk with the Lord. Now, how do we receive these gifts? I'm just recapping on last week. And I'll just go through the ways that you can receive them. You can get a picture in your mind or an impression in your mind about something. Or you can have a vision or a dream. We had examples of that last week. Peter in the Bible had a dream. Cornelius had a dream. And God brought them together. You just know that you know. You just got this witness in your spirit. Or you can have an association when it comes to healing, especially you can feel the pain of someone, or you can feel the anxiety in someone, you can feel it in your spirit, and that gift can operate in that way. Or in your quiet time, I've got your QT. I hope you all have a QT. We all want to look QT, but a QT is the time you spend with God every day. It's the time you spend with God every day. And you know, that's something I do every morning around 5 o'clock. And when I get in before the Lord and wait on Him to try and hear what He's saying to me. And often I operate in those gifts at 5 o'clock in the morning because the Lord will give me a word for someone. The Lord will give me a word of wisdom for someone, a word of knowledge. Jesus said, it's good that I go away and I will send the Holy Spirit and He will tell you what to do. So, you know, you don't do many sermons on this, do you? No. I haven't heard a sermon on this. Well done, my boy. Anyway, in your quiet time, God can give you a word, or you can be sitting here during the service, and the Lord can give you a word, or He can give you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or you can have a tongue or interpretation of that tongue, or you can have a prophetic word. And what we normally do in our church is, if you feel that the Lord's giving you a word, you come up to one of the pastors in the front here, and you say, I feel the Lord's given me a word of wisdom for someone here today. Or the Lord's given me a prophetic word to encourage the church today. And then we will say to you, so what is that word? And don't get all uptight, because we'll ask you, we want to know. Is this flowing with what God is saying in the church? Isn't that right? And you know, if you get up here and say, God's saying you must all go to Cambodia next week, you know, we'll say, no, that's not for our church today. We're not all going to Cambodia. We have been there. But because, you know, I remember one church I was in, we had this little lady that she was so sincere. But she used to jump up, and the one day she said, God's given me a prophetic word, and I'll let her share it, and I didn't check what. And she said, and the Lord says unto thee, thou shalt go round. And I was waiting for it, go round what? She says, no, thou shalt go round again. And thou shalt go round and round and round. And she sat down. And I said, well, let's sing. She'll be coming round the mountain. No, I didn't do that. But Shane, you know, people are ignorant sometimes. And she meant well, but, you know, that wasn't a word from the Lord, was it? Unless there was someone there going round the bend, I don't know. But anyway, so, but you must make yourself available if you want God to use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I like to prepare myself before I come to church. And often when the Lord uses me in this gift, I will come to church and I will go to Luke or Eddie or whoever and say, look, I feel the Lord's given me a word for the church today. Is it okay if I share this word? You ask what it is. And I'll say to him, it is. Some people say, well, I don't know what it is until I speak. Okay. You don't know what it is until you speak. But you should know, because the Bible says that the word of God is subject to you. So you should know what you're going to say. All right. So, you know, it's so important we make ourselves available. And it's good when you get a word, it's good to get confirmation from someone. You know, if you want to go and give someone a word, I would check it out first with the eldership of the church and say, look, the Lord's given me a word for someone here today. And this is it. What do you think? So it's good sometimes to get confirmation. Amen? Yeah. All right. So, So let's have a look at a bit of an overview, because I'm going to deal with the first three gifts now: speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and discerning of spirits. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe when the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as it was in Acts chapter 2, God poured out his spirit on the church, and they began to speak in a prayer language God gave them. Awesome. And they were all speaking in this prayer language. And then the gift of tongues operated. And some of them spoke in the languages of the people around them so that they could understand what they were saying. They were interpreting what they were saying. Can you see that? Now, unpack this as we go along. But let's read this. 1 Corinthians 14 says, pursue love. Someone come up to you. I just want to say this to you in love. Don't like what you're doing. You know, some people, it's really horrible, you know, when you share something with someone and you don't do it in love. Whatever you do in the church, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts, must always be done in love. Amen? So it says you pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. We should be desired. We should come to church every Sunday, and not just on Sunday, but every day say, Lord, do you want to use me in the gifts? I'm available. Do you want to use me today? To maybe speak a word of wisdom to someone, or to be able to help someone, you know, and you don't go up to them and say, God's given me a word for you. You go up and you ask them a question. How are you feeling? And you may have a word about their family. How's things going with your wife and your family? You know, and you ask a question, and that gift can operate through you. So it says, desire the spiritual gifts. In fact, in another place, it says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Amen? And, excuse me, I'm just really looking for, I put my best shirt on today, by the way, thank Dama. And, and then it says, especially that you may prophesy. I'm reading the Bible to you now. So prophecy is put right at the top of the list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in church. Okay? You got that? It says, he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So when you're praying in your prayer language God's given you, you're not speaking to people because they think you're nuts. No, you're praying to the Lord. And the devil can't understand what you're saying. And you're praying, and sometimes you don't know what you're praying. You're just praying your heavenly language, and the Spirit of God works, and you join in with the Holy Spirit. You join in with what Jesus is praying, and it's an awesome thing. You should try it. So I do that often. But especially, it says, but who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, when we come to church here, we speak in tongues. Sometimes we sing in tongues. And quietly, we praise the Lord. But sometimes the gift of tongues can operate. Okay. So, come with me this morning. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Amen. So if someone comes up and they want to bring a prophetic word, it must bring comfort. It must edify. It must build up. It can also rebuke. But it must always end in a positive way. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So, you know, sometimes I'm feeling a bit down. I don't know what to pray. I just pray in my heavenly language and I just worship God and it builds me up in my spirit. Amen? Amen. It's awesome. All right. It says, edifying. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Come on, follow it up there. All right. Well, edifies the church. I wish you would all speak with tongues, Paul says, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. All righty. So Paul says it's greater to prophesy, because if you just stand up and start speaking in tongues and no one knowing what you're saying, it's not going to help anyone, is it? Okay, now I'll explain how that gift operates, because it can operate in the church, okay? But I'll show you how. Now, the difference between personal tongues and the gift of tongues, as I said on the day of Pentecost, it says tongues of fire came on all of them. There were 120. But there were probably about people there from 7 or 9 different countries, all in Jerusalem. It was the time of the feast. And some of them started speaking in the languages of those people that were there, and they understood the gospel, and they came to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And I've heard of services where someone's got up and spoken in the language of someone sitting there that they didn't even know was there, and it was a sign to them, all right? So this is, it's not spooky. It's awesome, because God wants to move. He wants to do things. So on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke in tongues, the Bible says, but then the gift of tongues operated. So Paul says, I wish you would all speak in tongues, just like me. But you'll see further on, he says, not everyone does speak in tongues. So if you haven't spoken in tongues, don't feel that you're less a Christian than anyone else. But I would desire that gift, because it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift. Amen. 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 Are you all with me? Yes. Give me that weird look now. Right, where am I? So, here he says, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. This is the great apostle Paul speaking. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Did you hear that? So, there is a time in the service when we can pray in tongues and speak softly in tongues and praise the Lord in tongues. There's nothing wrong with that. But Paul says when you speak in church, it's better to prophesy. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 says, I'm laying a foundation here, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Okay, so how's that, eh? If you, and I have once in my life probably, brought a message in tongues in front of a church in my early Christian days. But the Bible says if you want to do that, you must be willing to interpret it. There's got to be an interpretation. Or if not, pray like mad, someone will. Otherwise, you've missed it. Now, look at this next scripture. Tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. Therefore, tongues are a sign not to those who believe, but to... Come on, are you all with me? To unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. But prophecy can also bring someone to their knees. Prophecy can also get someone to commit their life to Jesus. But tongues would be a sign. What is that? What language is that person speaking? They're speaking in a heavenly language. And then someone gets up and interprets it, or the person may interpret it themselves. Okay. It says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues And there are in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say, you're a bunch of fruitcakes? No, they will say, you're out of your mind. Isn't that true? So, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever, when an uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by all, he's convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. That's what I said. I went to a service once when I was young and I wasn't serving the Lord, and this guy up there was like a prophet, and he was calling people out and saying, the Lord shows me this about you. Well, I ducked that day. I got on the floor. I thought, oh, Lord, don't let him call me out and tell me everything. My mom and dad will know what I'm doing. You don't have to be afraid. God won't do harm to you. So, you know, they may have someone come up here and say, well, you know, the Lord just gives me a word that there's someone here that's really struggling this morning. You've come in here. You've got problems at home with your family and, you know, your children or finances. And the Lord says to you today that he wants to help you and strengthen you. A word like that. And then we say, is there anyone like feel like that? Come to the front. We'll pray for you now, not to embarrass you, but to encourage you. Amen. Yeah. So you see, the gifts, these gifts can really help the body to function well and smoothly, and be an encouragement to the church. So let's look at the gift of tongues. It's the, and you know, when I was young, I went to a youth camp once, and I had such a terrible experience there. And because they called people forward, and they said, do you want to speak in tongues? So I reluctantly went forward, because my friends did. And this woman came up to me, and she put one hand in my back, and one hand here. And she said, spit it out now, spit it out. And then she would speak in tongues and say after me. And it really put me off Christianity. I honestly didn't speak in tongues for years after that, because, you know, I tried spitting, but it didn't work. So don't try and force it on someone. Because one day I went home and I sat and I got on my knees and said, Lord, I'd love to speak in this heavenly language. And right there I started speaking in that heavenly language, and I've never stopped. Wow. It's a wonderful gift. Amen. And that was my personal gift. But then there's also the gift that operates in the church. All right, I'll explain that to you. So it's a sign to the unbeliever. Okay, you got that. Interpretation of tongues is the supernatural interpretation, not translation. It's not a translation. It's an interpretation of what God wants to be, what God wants to express to the church. So we need to understand that. You know, someone may stand up here and for 30 seconds speak in their heavenly language and their gift operates. That doesn't mean to say that the interpretation has to be 30 seconds. It could be longer. But it's just finding out what God wants. Right. So we'll move off from tongues right now. And, you know, if you've got any questions about this, come and ask me afterwards, and I'd be very happy to help you. I mean, normally you do a seminar, and they would take a whole few sessions just on that subject. Let's move on to prophecy, because Paul says prophecy is the greatest gift out of all the gifts in the church. And this is a wonderful gift. And I must say, there's a difference between the gift of a prophet and the office of a prophet. Like Len Butner, he operates in the office of a prophet. When he comes here, he just prophesies over everyone. Because God has called him to be a prophet. Like God's called me to be a pastor. You know, people say, what are you? I say, I don't know, I'm just a pastor, you know. That's what I am. God says he's called us to be pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, and apostles. I'm a pastor. But God does call people, men and women, to be prophets, to bless the church, to encourage the church. So the definition, I would say, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak, to edify, to exhort, and rebuke, and comfort. But always to edify. Always to edify. And the criteria, the prophets must be tested. and confirmed and line up with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. No car park specials. When I hear someone prophesying over someone in the car park outside, I get a bit worried because there's no one to check it. There's no one to test it. That's why we are here. And that's why it's better if God gives you a word for someone to come to us and say, look, God's given me a word for Dave, and this is what it is. Is it okay if I go and share it with him? We say, yeah, sure, that sounds right. But you know, a lot of harm has been done to the church through people that will go and do a personal prophecy just on the side and are not operating in the gift of prophecy. So I encourage you, and I love it when people give me a prophetic word. I've got a few recorded on my computer that I keep. And by the way, I've got some spare notes here if you want them, because there's a lot of stuff here. So they must be tested, confirmed, and yeah, and then, you know, sometimes you'll put that prophecy. I've had prophecies that only came to pass 20 years later. So sometimes you've got to put them on the shelf. Don't say, oh, well, the Lord told me now this is going to happen. No, it may not happen now. In fact, may not even happen in your lifetime. There's some things that, you know, there's some things that may not even happen in my lifetime. But I know God has said that to me, and I'm straining towards it with all my heart, and I'm believing God for it. You've got to pray over those prophecies. And don't go tell everyone, you know, this is what, oh, look what God said to me. You know, then you put in, you must always bring glory to God. Amen. So, pray over your prophetic word. And we will be getting Len Butner here again sometime. And, you know, I remember when we had that group of prophets that came to our church many years ago when my son Wesley was still very young. He was about 15. And they came up to him and they said to him, education. You are going to rise up through the ranks of education very quickly. Wow, and here we are thinking maybe he'd become a pastor or something, you know. And Wesley today lives in Canada. He's 37 years old and he's the principal of a high school. And that prophetic word came to pass. Isn't that incredible? And, you know, and then they came to Luke. And they said to us, the one who says he won't will. Because, you know, Luke didn't want to be a pastor. And here he sits today. So, you know, we've had lots of prophetic words in our lives that have helped us to keep the course. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So, should you speak in the first person or the third person? This was a big debate at our Bible college when I went to Bible college. Because some people will come up and say, yea, the Lord says unto thee, thou shalt go round. No, don't do it. Ah, if the Lord uses me in this gift, I'll say, I feel the Lord is saying. I feel the Lord is saying there's someone here today. Or the Lord wants to do this or this or this. But I'm not going to speak in the first person like I'm God. Okay, and that's just my personal view, that we're going to be careful that we don't become very religious, and you know go into the King James and say thee and thou, and it sounds more powerful, I suppose. I don't know. But here's an example, Revelation chapter 3. God says, "I know your works." This is Jesus speaking to the church. All right, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would you not either be cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth." Oh, that's a nice prophetic word to get, isn't it? But listen on. It says, "For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, poor, pitiful, blind, naked. I counsel you." Here comes the edification, the exhortation. The comfort. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen." Wow. I've been meditating a lot on this whole thing of shame and how many people carry shame and blame and guilt from the past. You never feel you're worthy for God to use you. Jesus says to them, "I will take that shame away from you. And then he says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Calls them to repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come in and sup with them and he with me. If anyone hears my voice, opens up, I will come in and eat with them and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. Also, I am conquered and as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Look in this prophetic word. Firstly, there is a rebuke. We don't hear many rebukes. People only want to say nice things. People only want to hear the positive thing, don't they? Sometimes the Lord rebukes us. The Lord uses my wife prophetically all the time to rebuke me. So yeah, this is an incredible word to this church. And the Lord's saying to them, some of you are lukewarm. Not lukewarm, but, you know, lukewarm. And the Lord says, I can't handle it when you're lukewarm. I want you to be fully committed to me. Rather be cold than lukewarm. And then he encourages them, repent. Repent of your lukewarmness. Repent of it. And I will take your shame away. And I'm standing at your door and I'm knocking. People think this is just for non-Christians. No, this is for us as Christians. God's knocking. He's waiting for us to open the door. He cannot force himself on us. If we will just wait for him every day and say, Holy Spirit, because Jesus says, better I go away. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will tell you what the Father's saying. Yeah. And sometimes we just go through life and we never wait on him. And he says, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. You'll eat with me. You'll sit at my table. You'll sit at my table. Now, if I go off on that, I won't get back to my sermon. Okay. But the Bible does say this, beware of false prophets. You will know them by their fruits. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Some of the televangelists have, we found out that have been like that. All they want to do is get money out of people. You know, send in $100 and I'll send you an anointed scarf. Wrap it around your neck and then you'll be healed. You know, things like that where, I suppose they mean well, but, you know, we don't use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to enrich ourselves. No. So they will come. We've had them. And that's why in this church, if someone comes in here for the first time and they come to me and say, God's given me a word for this church, I'll say, thank you, but no thank you. We don't know you. Now, this should make you feel safe and secure in this church, because we can't let strangers come in here. We don't know them, what spirit they're operating. They may have just been in rebellion and killed somebody out there or something. So we want to get to know someone first. They must be part of this team. They must be part of our church before we just let any Dick, Tom, and Harry, well, nothing against Tom and Harry's, but come up here and we'll leave that one out. But, you know, so there must be order in church. Luke, stop it now. Okay. Now listen to this scripture. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm? So when we come together, we should have a psalm, we have a teaching, or a tongue, as a revelation, as an interpretation. Let all be things be done for to build up, not to break down. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three at the most, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, saying, just shut up and be quiet. And said, let him be silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. So that's really telling me, if you come up here and you want to bring speaking tongues and you feel that gifts operate, you must be also be willing to pray for the interpretation. Okay? That's why Paul says, better. It's easier to come up here and say, rabba, and just pray in your heavenly language than to actually say the Lord is saying. Isn't it? It's easier. So it takes a bit of guts, but anyway. So where was I now? So yeah, it says, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent. The same with prophets, not more than three. Let two or three prophets speak, let the others judge. That prophetic words must be judged by the church. Because otherwise they may be saying something that's totally opposite to what God is saying to the church. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. That's what prophetic gifts are for. Encourage, exhort, edify. A little bit of rebuke sometimes. We all need a rebuke, don't we? And it says, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means that you don't lose control of yourself. You don't lose control of yourself. No. The prophetic is subject to you. And God allows you to share it. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Amen. Amen. And, you know, that's why the Pentecostal church has probably got a bad name in some circles, because it did become like a circus. You know, and there weren't people discerning and listening. I could tell you lots of stories about that because I grew up in that. And I remember the one dear man came in, and I don't know what happened to him, but he started saying, Satan, 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 Satan. Can you believe it? Like a tongue. And I looked at this man, and I was a kid. And then old Sister Clopper got up and said, yea, thus says the Lord, I love thee. I've always loved thee, and I will always love thee. Now, we all know that. But you see, she need a bit of, that guy need to be taken aside and say, why are you calling on the name of the devil in church? And then, sister, why did you interpret and say, that's what the Lord is saying? I mean, this truly happened. You know, I grew up, and there wasn't much teaching in those days. People were sincere, though. They were sincere. And that's why I say, you know, you say, well, do I have to be perfect? No, come up here, make a mistake. We will correct you. But don't leave the church if we correct you. We'll take you aside and say, that was wonderful. You said some great things there. But you know, when you said that Sandra never washes the dishes, it's not a good thing to say in church. Okay, I'm just using my wife. She always washes the dishes. In fact, my wife washes the dishes when we go out in case someone breaks in the house and sees the dishes haven't been washed. It's true. Someone breaks in, now they're going to see how my... I can't even leave a spoon on the sink. I've got to put it away. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Amen? Amen? Okay. The gifts of prophecy is often progressive. And the gifts all operate together. They never operate just one gift. I mean, I'm operating in a gift of faith as I stand up here now. I believe I'm also speaking prophetically. I believe God's given me a few words of wisdom as I speak. And the Lord's given me discerning of spirits, but I won't call you out. He's joking. But they all operate together. And you take that first step and you feel the Lord and you start praying about it, the Lord gives you the next word. Amen. It's wonderful. It's awesome. Jesus was progressive in the woman at the well. Do you remember? I told the story last week. He asked her, can you give me a drink of water? She said, I have nothing to give it to you with. And Jesus said, well, I can give you water that'll give you in eternal life. She said, give me this water. And then Jesus said, well, go and call your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, I know, you've had five. And she's living with the sixth one, the sixth man. You weren't even married to him. And you know, that way, that woman got saved. She went and called, the whole village came out, and the village turned to Jesus. Because Jesus operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit progressively. Wow. 10:45. I've got three more to go, so I'm going to get into them now. Okay, we'll move off prophecy. It's a wonderful gift. And, you know, I've shared as much as I can with you this morning. If you've got any questions, just go to Pastor Eddie and put it in writing. Edify you. And he'll edify you. He's got the gift of edification. Dave's got the gift of divinity. Dave, divinity.
I'm just lukewarm.
Yeah, Luke says lukewarm and pray for him. Okay. It's good we can laugh and joke. So that's the mouth of God. God still speaks today. And I'm looking forward to the day when we have those three people come up here and share prophetic words. I'm looking forward to that day. In the worship. Sometimes you'll be sitting here and you just feel, you get the urge. And you come up and say, I just feel the Lord is saying that. I know it's nerve-wracking. And then that may be one word. I've heard people come up and just say one word, brokenness. The next person comes up and say, yeah, the Lord showed me that as well. I confirm that. There's someone here that's feeling broken this morning. And then someone else will say, the Lord wants to heal you this morning. It's like a pattern. It's like a progression of God speaking. And, you know, I've seen lives changed. Amen. Seen lives changed. There could be probably lots of testimonies here this morning. Now we get on to the hands of God. Okay, the gift of healing. It says to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles. What's the definition? We'll look at faith. Supernatural faith at any given time or place, which enables a person to carry out God's plan with absolute authority and confidence, not out of your own will. One of the sad stories I always tell is when I went to the hospital one day and I was walking down the corridor, and the gift of faith operated, and the Lord said, go into that room and pray for that person. And that person had suffered, I don't know how many degrees of burns, and I didn't. And I thought, well, when I go tomorrow, I will pray for that person. When I got there, the next day, that person had died. And I didn't. And to this day, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I just pray. Have mercy on that person. But you know, you can be in the gift of, you just know, I need to, or you may be in a ward visiting someone and the person next to you there. You should always be aware of people around you because they're listening. In that moment, they hear you've been to pray for this one. They may want you to pray for them. And I've often done that. And this guy, would you like me to pray with you? You know, yes, please, because people are sick and they need help. So, you know, the hands of God. You get that supernatural, you get that absolute feeling of faith. I've told you the story of the woman who had cancer, and the pastor of the church told me to go and tell her and encourage her because she was dying. She had 17 tumors in her body, and her hair had fallen out. She'd been through chemo. She was in stage 4 of cancer, as you know, and she was going to die. She had 2 small children. Her husband was a medical doctor. And I was praying, and the Lord said to me, go and tell her I'm going to heal her. Amen. I promise you. I knocked on the door. My knees were shaking, my legs. And the doctor, her husband came to the door, Dr. Storm. Opened her, yes. I said, I'm from the church, because he never went to church. And I said, do you mind if we come in? So he didn't look too happy, but come in. And then there she was. And I just said, look, the Lord's given me a word for you. That if you speak to your mountain, God is going to remove this mountain and that God wants to heal you. Now, before you do that, make sure you hear from God, okay? Make absolutely sure. Because you can do a lot of harm if you haven't. And that day, the healing started in that woman. But she had to do her part and speak to her mountain. And she did. My gosh, she did. And today, this was in South Africa. Today, she lives in Queensland. She's written books, and she's just achieved some amazing things in her life. In fact, she even got my mother-in-law into Australia. My mother-in-law's probably watching this. I don't know if she did me a kindness or what, but anyway. Sorry, Mom. I need talking. I'm very happy at you. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, you know, but I had this urge in my spirit that God wanted to heal her. God wanted to do a miracle. Amen? Amen? And if that gift of faith hadn't, I would never, ever have done that. And then when I obeyed, the gift of healing operated. You see that? So they operate together. How do you receive a gift of faith? Great feelings of boldness. The turbo kicks in. You feel authority and a compulsion to do something. I've got to go and see that person today. Sandra said, I've got to phone this person today. The Lord laid it on my heart. You feel the gift of faith, a boldness within you to do something you would never normally do. And, okay, and how is it administered? by speaking the word of faith to someone and sharing with them, asking them questions and sharing them what you felt God has told you. Sometimes you can lay hands on them. When they laid hands on the sick, they recovered. I'm always doing this with COVID. It's not good. Or was it the licensing department? That woman, don't do that. Wash your hands. Yeah, there's some stuff there. I'll wash my hands. Taking a great leap of faith. Always good to get confirmation. Okay, I'm landing. Matthew 12. And I love this story because I love fishing. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. I mean, imagine you're a fisherman and you're fishing and someone comes walking on the water towards you. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Peter, don't you love Peter? If it's you, Lord, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. And Peter got down at the boat and he started walking on the water. But the moment he looked at the waves and the swell, he started sinking and he cried out, Jesus, help me. You see, you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus, eh? If you want to operate in this gift of faith. And the gift of faith operated in Jesus, the gift of miracles, because Jesus has power over over nature. Jesus spoke to the storm and said, peace be still. And we know that Jesus could do supernatural things. And Peter actually did walk on the water. And when he sank, Jesus says, you have little faith. And he said, why did you doubt? I wonder how much more we could achieve in our lives if we don't doubt. We believe God. Amen. Put our faith in him. Amen. We trust him. Next one. Second last. The gift of working on miracles. It's a supernatural ability to transcend natural laws. Jesus walking on the water. Jesus speaking to the storm. And through the Holy Spirit, a miracle takes place. Now, John 10, it says, at that time, Joshua 10, just checking in. And when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel, he said in the sight of Israel, stand still, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. The sun stood still, the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. And there's never been a day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Wow. Gosh. Imagine the whole solar system froze. 24 hours. Froze. Because one man, that gift of faith operated in him. The working of miracles operated in him. And he said, son, stand still. Wow. That takes a bit of faith, eh? But that happened. And there's never been a day like that since. So go out and try it. You better hear from God. It's like the guy in South Africa that said he heard from God that he's going to walk on the water. And he got all the people around there and he went to the swimming pool. And the TV cameras were there. And he walked in and he sank straight down to the bottom. Because he was trying to show off. He was trying to get his church on the map. He wasn't operating. Operating in the gifts. Operating. Sandra and I have seen incredible miracles. We were speaking in a little town in South Africa once. And during the service, a lady fell out of her chair. And she was lying there like that. And the paramedic said, there's no pulse, she's died. And I don't tell the story. And I went there, I said, in the name of Jesus, I speak life into your body. And then she came around. And we never made a big scene of it. We never went around and said, oh, God raised this woman from the dead. God used me to raise someone from the dead. I don't know if she'd really died. She may have been in a coma, I don't know. But I believe God did a miracle right there. Everyone there believed she was raised from the dead. So, you know, these things happen, but they don't happen to bring us glory, to give us fame. They happen to the name of Jesus can be glorified. In John 21, Simon, there's another fishing story. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. That's what fishermen normally say. Where are we going? like Alwyn sent me the thing that the salmon are biting at Shane's Beach right now. A big school of shoal of salmon have come into the bay. I said, let's go. That's what fishermen say. I said, let's not wait. And we do. I'd get in the, I'd go. Oh, these are the people I was with. They went out and they got in the boat that night and they caught nothing. It's terrible when you catch nothing. But just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Mind you, a bad day's fishing is better than a good day in the office. And it says they were standing on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered, no. He said, cast the net on the right side. Word of wisdom. Or word of knowledge. Cast the net and you'll find some. So they cast it. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. I've got 3 minutes. And it says, the disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. It was John. Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work. And he threw himself into the sea. Don't you love this? It's Jesus. Jump in, boy. And I've worked out they were about 100 meters out. And he swam with his clothes on, outer garment on. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And that's how we should be rushing towards Jesus. He just heard those words. Amen. And it says, when they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire, dragging the net full of fish. They were not far from the land, but about 100 yards. Oh, yeah, it was 100 meters. The Bible tells me. That's how I knew that. It wasn't a word of wisdom. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire on the beach with fish laid out on it, bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish. And Jesus does a barbie for them. South Africa, we call it a braai. They had a barbie right there. We're going to have one tonight. And Peter went abroad and hauled the net in, full of large fish, 153. Fishermen always count their fish. Yeah. And we know how to take photos with our fish too. You hold it out like that. The one I sent Patrick, that he said, it looks like you're falling over. It's a wonder you never fell over, but they taught me. The fish looks bigger when you hold it out in front of you. 153. And they must have had an awesome barbecue, eh? Oh, I've got one more to go. The gift of healing. All right. Supernatural gift given to a person to pray for sickness or disease and bring healing to the human body. How do you receive this gift? Through the gift of faith. All the gifts. You could receive this gift through any of the gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, discerning. See the person sick. Through prayer. But Jesus operated mainly through compassion. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. I love that. Because if we're not operating out of compassion, then we're missing it. Love and compassion. And then this Matthew 8 says, this man, he says, my servant's lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy you come under my roof, but only say the word, gift of faith. And my servant will be healed, for I am too a man under authority with soldiers. We know what happened. Jesus, he left, and Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith. I've never seen such great faith. So faith is an important part, and that's a subject for another day. But, you know, and it's not how much faith you got. We've all been given a measure of faith. It's how you use that faith. Amen? Amen. So this man said, Lord, you don't even have to come. Just speak the word. Speak the word, Lord. And that servant was healed at that moment. In conclusion, 1 Corinthians 12 says, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would make it less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he has chosen. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And I'll end there. We are the body of Christ. We don't just want to be an ear. People come in here and say, oh, just like, you're just like one big mouth. Everyone's shouting. Because that's what the problem was in the Corinthians church. They were all jumping up and shouting. That's why he gave this teaching. We don't want to all just be the eyes that we're all seeing. No, we all operate together. One will have a hymn. One will have a song. One will have a tongue. One will have an interpretation. One will have a prophetic word. One will have a word of wisdom. And as the body of Christ functions, we see the glory of God come. My brothers and sisters, this is the best I can do in the little time I've had. But I want to encourage you. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Awesome. Wasn't that a great teaching this morning? And last week was so good. We asked Pastor Pete to put a bit in overtime this week and come back and do the second session in that. And I'm glad we did, because it really was a really fantastic teaching for us all. So this week, why don't we put this into practice? In this next week, let's ask the Lord. Let's eagerly desire these gifts. And as you know, a gift is something that you get given. And these are definitely some of those. So let's eagerly desire this week. And also ask, maybe you're here this morning, you want to get prayer for anything in particular, maybe something you've heard this morning even. I really believe the Lord is here this morning just to speak into your life. And even if it's the gift of speaking in tongues, maybe that's something that seemed really weird to you or strange, but something you have desired. You've heard other people in church speaking, and maybe that's something you have a desire in your heart to do. I encourage you. Often in Scripture, it was with the laying on of hands that people would receive this gift. So we'd love to pray with you as well. So we'll do that at the end of the service. If you would like prayer for that, please, we'd love to pray for you. Why don't we just pray now? Lord, we want to thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you for the clarity of it. We thank you, Lord, that your word is instructional, but your word is also life-giving through your Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Peter, who brought your word to us. What a wonderful teaching, Lord. I just want to pray also this morning for Eldane, Alessandra, and their children as they have traveled to South Africa, Lord, to be with some of Eldane's family over there. I want to ask, Lord, they've been on my heart this morning. I also want to pray for your protection over their lives as they travel, as they drive, as they go from place to place. I pray you go before them, Lord. I pray that you be with them and bring them back to us safely. Lord, I pray also for all those traveling, going away on holidays over this July holiday period. I pray, Lord, you go before them and bless them too. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Can I just encourage you this evening? Maybe you haven't attended the other two sessions, but tonight is going to be fantastic. It really is. You know, Charlene De Beer is a Christian psychologist, but she's going to bring the psychology and God's word together. We're going to look particularly at the subject of anger. Wow. Isn't this a subject which we can, an emotion? It's not a primary emotion, but as a result of frustration and other things, anger can quite often just bubble out of us. And then we go like, what the heck just happened there? And so tonight we get to deal with that, look at that, also anxiety. Looking at anxiety coming out of COVID, we've realized some people are carrying quite a bit of anxiety. We want to look at this in a biblical way, how to deal with this, both in the psychological way and also the biblical way. So tonight, come along, and we're going to have a wonderful time together afterwards as we have a fire pit out there, barbecues, as David said, and there's a sausage sizzle for $2.50. Otherwise, bring your own meat. We'll chuck it on the barbie. We'll even put a shrimp on there, hey? Put another shrimp on the barbie. So we'll do that tonight. That's at 5 o'clock. The barbie will be about 6:15, 6:30. It's going to be great. Get around there. Put your beanie on and bring a scarf. We'll sit around the fire. Have some fun. We'll put the State of Origin on as well. We'll put that on the big screen. You can watch that. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. And thank you, Pastor Pete. That was awesome.
and I will sing my praise unto you, my Lord.